I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson The Secret 2. I'm joined by my reality TV star, OG, Kaggy Dunlop. But as I mentioned before we took a break, you are so much more than that. Can I ask, what's your real name? Because Kaggy's not it, is it?
It's not it. My real name's Catherine.
Fuck off. No, that is some next level posh shit. I did not know people were doing that. Is that normal in Chelsea? No. Come on.
It's not a posh person nickname.
Is it not?
It's not. It's basically when I was born, my brother, who is like just under 2 years older, said he couldn't say Catherine, and he said Kaggy, and then it kind of stuck around the house. And then one day I went into school and I was like, everyone call me Kaggy. And then it was with a Y, and then I was like, everyone call me Kaggy with an IE. And it was like, I used to just be obsessed with like names. There was a point where I actually changed my name completely for a bit. I'm not even going to talk about that. But anyway.
No, so please do. Like, what were you going as when you changed it? What was the alter ego, Kag? I need to know.
It was so embarrassing. It was Tiger. this is not that young. I was like 17, 18, 19. It was like when I started going clubbing in London, and I was like, my name's Tiger. And some of the people that I met at that time, I still know now, so they probably think I was just going through a really weird identity crisis.
Still, I hope you're still saved in someone's phone as Tiger. That would just make me so happy.
I've never admitted that or told anyone that before. So yeah, you've heard it sit here first.
Wow, I feel really honored to have an exclusive. But oh, mate, like, you're just finding yourself at that age, like 17, 18. I don't know. I just remember thinking I had it all figured out and I was so grown up and cool, and actually I knew fucking nothing.
Yeah. And I also, you know, I went out because I lived in London. I went out quite young, and now I look back and I think I will be locking my daughter up knowing the way that we behaved. Yeah. And I did think I knew it all. But yeah, I didn't.
For everyone who doesn't consume this content on a visual platform, Kaggy just like wistfully looked into the distance. It was very poetic. It was really romantic. Like, and I just didn't know it all. I love that from you. But mate, you are now in your 30s, like me. And I know that we don't know it all. God, like even me ma, who's like in our sort of mid-60s, she's back in the dating scene, lass.
How's she finding it?
Sure. What I am finding is that men actually don't fucking ever grow up. She got ghosted.
No.
By a 67-year-old fella.
No.
Yeah. 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 Knobbed.
That is not what she needs.
No, absolutely not. She's had a really tough time, me mum. Like, everybody knows her and me dad split up, you know. He was a high school sweetheart. She'd met him from 11, you know, so it was that only, and then she had this other lovely bloke she was with, and he sadly passed away, and she's taking time to heal and everything. She's back on the scene. And honestly, like, I really did think, oh, I bet your men are all just like, well, they're in their 60s. So they're thinking, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be upfront. Everyone needs to know what I'm about because I want to find love and settle down. But nah, They're still playing games, still up to their old tricks, still not mature at 67. So yeah, so my mum is still learning about herself, even at the ripe old age of 65. So even though we don't know it all in our 30s, mate, we know a lot more than we did in our teens and 20s. And it feels as though you've finally sort of, I suppose, found yourself, Cags, have you?
Yeah, I think so. And? Definitely a lot more.
Well, do you love this version of you?
That weirdly makes me feel so uncomfortable. Because it's just so like not something. People are like,
it's very prying. I'm being very nosy today. I think it's because I feel like I've known you for 20 years, even though I fucking haven't. Sorry.
I actually do, because I think my 20s were so, you know, I look back on them and they were just quite chaotic and all over the place, and I didn't know who I was and I felt very ungrounded, whereas my 30s have just felt a lot calmer, and I know who I am, and kind of like what we spoke about in the first half, I might not be for everyone, but I'm for me. Like I live my life according to what my values are and in alignment with my integrity, and that is what's important. And so I've really enjoyed my 30s so far.
Honestly, 30s do get a bad rep, don't they? For like long hangovers and crow's feet and grey hairs and all that, and you're fucking ticking biological body clock and everything. But I'm telling you right now, I've had a really nice time.
I love we're talking about it like it's a holiday destination. I mean, I can't complain. Everything looks good here to me. But the thing that is true is the pressure cooker that women often feel, and I'm very, you know, aware of that, because the community from Saturn Returns and the podcast and stuff is women 25 to 35, and a lot of them feel this intense pressure, especially around, you know, finding the right relationship, having kids and all that stuff. So that's the only thing that's a bit of a tricky thing for us to navigate. But
yeah, it feels like we can never sort of win as women. Like you're over your pesky 20s where everything is, you're so insecure and you're just crippled by self-doubt. You finally get into a space where you're sort of like, oh, you know, I'm okay with the way I look and my body shape is, you know, it's not all the horrible things I thought it was. It works for me. I love it. But you finally get there, and then Mother Nature goes, you got fucking 2 years. Find your idea dreams and have a baby. Otherwise your eggs are turning to dust. Your mug.
I know, it's so true.
And I was happy for like 30 seconds.
And also the way society kind of like for women, because obviously that's a big part of it, but it feels like a lot of the stuff kind of is like the narrowing of walls and the window is closing. Because actually when you find out who you are and you're happy with it, then you know, careers might change and stuff like that. But I think we're sold this idea that we have to have all of these things figured out by 30, and if we don't, we're sort of doomed to eternal damnation in some kind of way. So then everyone's so scared about turning 30, and they do, and they're like, oh, it's actually okay. But there is still this kind of pressure, you know.
Yeah, I get it. I sometimes think, you know, if women are always stressed and always trying to do something else and trying to have more and all the rest of it, I suppose we're easier to control, you know, if we're a little bit miserable and we're a little bit stressed. And I suppose we're a consumer, like a marketer's dream as well. And I blame everybody else.
But it's like a vicious cycle, isn't it?
Yeah, you know,
because if women were actually taught from a young age to love themselves and feel complete, then entire industries would just collapse overnight.
The what? That is, do you know what? But then I see these lovely things on TikTok. I do think the generation that's having kids now is probably fucking mine, actually.
Actually, I think it's our generation.
Oh, shit. That's going to move on. So I feel like they're trying to undo some of the damage. You know, I see all of these amazing TikToks of little girls doing their hair in the mirror and telling like their morning affirmation, saying that they're smart,
yeah,
and they're kind, so and they're capable of anything. And I always tell Navy, that's my sister's little girl, I'm like, are you pretty? She's like, yes. And I'm like, are you smart? And she said, yeah. Are you kind? Yes. Like I tell her, you know. And I think, not that I was brought up in a bad way. I had a fantastic childhood with lovely parents, but I never was told I was great. I was never repeatedly told, like, you are brilliant and the world can be anything you want it to be. Like, it probably seemed really cheesy and American, but I fucking love it.
It does. My household think you would never heard something like that.
We were all so self-deprecating, you know, but I want my kids to be fucking to think they are absolutely invincible. Not knobs. Yeah, I don't want them to be like knobs. I don't want them to think they can't do anything wrong. Like, we will call a spade in our house, surely, but I want them to believe anything is possible.
100%. Same with me.
And sorry, mate. Again, I'm being really nosy. It's normally such a like nice little chill chat here. But are you in a happy, healthy relationship, Cag? Are you looking for love? Are you fucking taken? Go on, girl. You're so sneaky. Everyone knows everything about me, but you're flying under the radar now.
I know. Try and be quite mindful of what I share, because I'm aware that, you know, as much as I'm an open book, mm-hmm. and, you know, someone, I did this talk this week and someone was like, oh, do you ever, you know, feel uncomfortable with how much you share and how open you are on the podcast? And I was like, I've been airing my dirty laundry for decades, like across various mediums. I did reality TV, like that's nothing. But I also have to be respectful of the fact that it's not just my story, you know, it's also my partner's story, and he can be quite private, but I am in a very happy relationship and we've been together for a year and a half.
Oh, buzzing mate. Well, congratulations. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I often think it's a bit of a hang up from reality, like from being on reality TV in your formative years, is you don't know what's appropriate to share and you don't know what isn't.
Yeah.
I fall prey to this all the time. Like, my agent will ring me and she'll be like, does everybody honestly have to know when you have your period? And I'm like, yes.
But this is the thing. We grew up in this way that there was nothing that was off.
Oh, yeah. You know, everyone had to know everything.
Everyone had to know everything. And also, I don't know about you, but I became quite used to this sort of state of, not to go back there because I know we've covered it, but it's a state of like anxiety. So I actually find that the beautiful thing about podcasts or books is it's you are controlling
ownership.
Narrative. Mm. Yeah. And that really gives it such a different feeling, because it's like you're sharing something that you are willing and wanting to share rather than it kind of being pulled from you without you wanting it to be.
Yeah. I think it's an empowering platform. Like, that's what I've always found. You know, I love social media has plenty pitfalls. Don't get me wrong, you know, and I talk about them at length when I'm being whingy and fucking ungrateful. But predominantly, I love the chance to show the real side of me rather than like the 42-minute edited version that MTV thought people wanted to see, you know? I love being able to show that, you know, I'm compassionate and I've got interests outside of Jägermeister. It's lovely to be able to show a real insight here. And I think a podcast,
it's my favorite medium for doing that.
It's an extension of that. Do you absolutely love it? So what's the format of yours, Cag? Do you get guests or is it just you chatting every week?
I have guests. So we'll have different guests that are, and I sometimes do solo episodes. We've just launched like a subscription solo series where it's just kind of my thoughts and musings for the week. But we'll have guests come on that are a range of different people. But the umbrella of the whole kind of show and the brand is Saturn Returns. So it's got an astrology spin, but essentially it's personal development through that lens. So we'll have different people talking about different themes that really we all have to navigate in our 20s as we kind of initiate into adulthood. And then often finding more sort of esoteric ones around themes and kind of niche subjects that I find interesting that perhaps people wouldn't have heard of before. And that's always quite fun.
So I feel like it sounds amazing and super interesting. And particularly, like, you know, the personal development side of things, like, it's so, I don't want to say hot right now for a number of reasons. I don't want to say it because I feel like it makes me sound like a bell end. But it's also, I feel like it's true though, isn't it? Like, when I was younger, like, it was all just about saving up to go to Magaluf to see how many boys you could kiss, you know, like that's and binge drinking and blah, X, Y, and Z. Now I feel like people are far more invested in personal development, in growth, in having life experiences and being the best version of themselves. And I think it's a really healthy shift.
Really healthy.
Yeah. You can't deny it's hot right now.
it is kind of hot right now. And so is astrology, actually. And I think yeah. it's to do...
Well, there's even a dating show, Cag. We had a couple of women on who were like the astrologers for a dating show. That
was this... Old. Was this the Discovery dating show?
Written in the stars?
It is definitely. And like with all the apps and just, I think it's because of social media yeah. that people are getting this information in a very digestible way. And that's how it's kind of, and then people are like, oh, that's actually really helpful. Or that makes me feel seen and understood. And then also I think it's because we've moved away as a society, mainly in the kind of Western culture of like religion doesn't play quite the same role that it used to. And I think we have an appetite for something that kind of is more spiritual, that's something we can believe in. And I think that's why astrology is kind of having its moment again.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all want to believe in something. Like, I don't care, you know, where you're from, how you've been brought up, whatever. Everybody needs hope. And we all totally. Need a sense of like a belief system. And I did a show for the BBC recently called The Pilgrimage. And it's where like a group of people from different religious backgrounds all get together and complete a religious pilgrimage, obviously. And it was dead interesting, you know, like I don't think religion, like you say, has as big of a place in current society. But as I was going through and learning about other peoples and blah, blah, I'm agnostic myself. Like the predominant thing that I realized is we just all have to have something to believe in, because otherwise it's a bit sad. Like the idea that, the idea that there's nothing happens when you're gone, or the idea that you're not working towards something, or it's all just a bit sad. So I can see why people are finding hope and solace in astrology now.
Yeah, because it gives it this very unifying sort of everything's happening for you and for a reason. Yeah, but also it's very unique and personal because your chart is so unique and personal. So you kind of have this feeling of being part of something in a collective whilst also feeling seen. And I think especially when we go through moments of struggling with our own identity and our own sense of self, that can allow people to kind of deepen their understanding of what their unique gifts are, what their path is. So that's kind of how I use it. It's like a tool for personal development and introspection.
I'm a Scorpio, Cag, right? And I feel like we get so... Don't laugh. I knew it. No, but I feel like we get such a bad rep, right? But I actually love being a Scorpio. I feel like we're like quite a powerful sign in the zodiac. I feel like we have a sting in our tail, which is not something I'm going to deny having. Like, I quite like being one. Would, in terms of Taurus and Scorpio, would we get on? God, I'm sounding more and more like a fangirl.
I don't really prescribe to the like, oh, you know, will certain star signs getting on and others not. I don't use it that.
It's not that weird. Do you think that's a bit gimmicky?
I think it is a bit gimmicky also it's so much more complex than just your star sign or your sun sign, because I mean, then you have your moon and your rising, but even within a chart, there are so many variables. But I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know where, I've never heard that Scorpio and Taurus are necessarily get along, but I haven't heard that they don't. I think I've often gravitated towards, I know I've got a couple of people in my life that I'm very close to that have Scorpio placements, and they do have that like where they're
edge.
Like lovely,
let's call,
lovely, lovely,
let's
lovely,
call it
lovely.
An edge.
I'm like, whoa, Where did that come from? So yeah, that's why I laughed when you said you're a Scorpio. Yeah,
it was such a smug little giggle as well. Right, before I chat you a little bit more about your book as well, I need to ask. I always hear people being like, oh yeah, well, don't worry because Mercury's in retrograde. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I've won then. Fuck it. Mercury's in retrograde. I don't know what it means, Kagi, and I'm sick of pretending to acting like I do. Tell me what it means.
Okay, so basically retrograde is when like Mercury, essentially it's the illusion that it's going backwards. So Mercury is about like messenger. It's like associated with the messenger communication technology. So during that time when people are saying like, oh, everything's going to go haywire, it's because often things in communications break down. So whether that's an email that you thought you sent, you actually sent, you know, to the wrong person, or it didn't send at all, or like something goes wrong in technology, or on a more sort of personal level with your partner, like there's just a communication breakdown and you've just misunderstood a situation. And so there's like tension or an argument might happen. So those are kind of the main things that happen during that time. And that's why people get a little bit like, prepare for Mercury retrograde, in the same way that I guess Saturn returns. Everyone's like, prepare for your Saturn return, because that's often viewed as a scary thing. But I don't know. I guess, to be honest, when Mercury is retrograde, I notice things that happen rather than look out for them. I'm slightly mindful of like emails and stuff like that because I am a bit like chaotic anyway. Like I've done things when I've sent an email that's a really important one that I've rewritten a couple of times because it's really important. Yeah. And then I've actually accidentally sent
all the drafts. The email,
sent the email with another email at the bottom of it, being like, oh my God. But that wasn't even in retrograde. It was just me.
That was just a Tuesday.
It was just an average Tuesday. And then yeah, in my relationship, often, like, if there's, like, a communication breakdown, I'm like, well, Mercury's retrograde. My boyfriend's like, okay, sure, whatever you say.
I was just going to say, I feel like Mercury is in retrograde a lot in our house. You kind of always, like, fucking chalk and cheese. I want to know, so your book is called The Same Thing, right? Saturn Returns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is just, like, building on the themes of the podcast.
Yeah, so your Saturn return, like, in astrology is something that happens in your late 20s. So at around 28, 29, Saturn returns to the same place in the sky it was when you were born. And within the sort of realms of that. Yeah. So it takes like that amount of time to kind of do a full like orbit of the earth. And when it does, it brings with it these sort of initiations, and it's like associated with karma and with discipline and with responsibility. So if like me, you haven't been living in a very Saturnian fashion, you've been incredibly irresponsible and undisciplined, it's like a bit of a drop kick from the universe to kind of snap you into place. And all these lessons feel like they're coming quick fire. And it's just a lot.
Did you find that transition hard, Kagi, or?
Yeah, that's why you got into this podcast. Yeah, because it was during that time where I was like, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on? And then someone was like, you're about to go through your Saturn return. I was like, okay. And I just became really fascinated by that subject. It's weird. Like, you know how you just have these affiliations or connections with things or places? Like, for me, it was just like, Saturn return, what an interesting concept.
And well, it really resonated with you, obviously, didn't it? So that would be...
Yeah, it did. And it initially started when I started like writing like I wanted it to maybe be a script or something. I didn't really know, but I was like, I'm going to do something around Saturn return. Like I love this point in one's life. And then when I actually went through it, and it was once I was out the other side that I could really see, I was like, holy shit, that really, really happened. And I learned so much in the process, and then really putting out the podcast was like, how can I create a toolkit for people that are navigating times of transition and change? Because at that time, I was being asked by a lot of people, like, have you considered doing a podcast? And I knew that I wanted to, but then it was like, okay, maybe I'll take that subject that I had thought about a few years ago and actually put it out as a podcast. And then, yeah, it kind of went from there. And then the book is really just an extension of that, but more personal, perhaps. There's probably more vulnerability in the book. And that's about, you know, the main things and the main hurdles that I felt or experienced during my 20s into my 30s.
I think when you're sitting, so podcasts, you can have fun and it's an hour and it can be, you know, very much surface chat. Even if you're talking about things that are, you know, emotional, it's still not enough time to get proper into the bones or something. But a book, I've wrote a couple myself, I always find that it's really like a therapeutic experience. It's very cathartic. You sit down and you pour stuff out of, it feels like your soul. And yeah, I've always come away from the experience feeling a little bit lighter, but also that I've shared a lot of myself. It's draining.
You get a bit of a vulnerability hangover after, because you're like, oh, wow, I've really, I remember it was when I was reading the audio book out.
Sobbed me tits off, yeah. Honestly, it was terrible. Like the fella who was recording it at one point just fucking stopped and brought a box of tissues in. He's like, you're right. I was like, clearly I'm not, Derek.
Yeah, because it's quite hard when you've just got one man that you're like narrating your life story to. And it's just this very, because they're not an audience, but you're just looking at them like they are. And it's, it is confronting. Because a lot of the stuff, I don't know about you, like the stuff I put in the book, it's raw and honest. It's not necessarily stuff that I've like figured out. Sometimes it's stuff that I'm still
processing.
Yeah, and still navigating. So it feels that, yeah, a bit more raw.
Well, I know even if the process was hard and it was a bit of a struggle, it was emotional, like you're definitely helping women. Like women at an age where, you know, we're under so much pressure to have it all figured out and we feel like a failure if we look on Instagram and everyone's got like a fucking tidy house and matching outfits with their kids and we don't have those things. Like I think what you're providing for women at that age and at that critical time in their lives is a super imperative service. So I just want to say you should pat yourself on the back, Cag.
Oh, thank you. That is so sweet.
You're welcome. I mean it from the bottom of my heart, mate. And before I let you go, because I'm aware that you're a busy lady, here at Vicky Patterson The Secret Too, we always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a couple of pearls of wisdom. And I think something you said at the start of the podcast has really stuck with us. We had similar experiences in our 20s. We felt displaced. We felt unsure of ourselves, morphing into people that we thought other people wanted us to be. But now you're quite clearly a very confident, comfortable version of you. And I think you should be proud of that. But also I think other people would like to know what your secret is. So what is your secret to feeling anchored?
Just to be true to yourself, because, you know, like you just mentioned, so much of my life in my 20s were shape-shifting to perform and be validated by other people. And it wasn't until, you know, I went through my Saturn return that I was like, okay, I'm actually gonna just remain true to myself with little idea of who that person actually was. But once I started sort of cultivating that and figuring out what I valued and living in alignment with it, everything kind of became more grounded and more anchored. So that would be my advice. Don't try to be for everyone.
Just be for you.
Just be for you.
Oh, mate, I could cry. That was absolutely... Oh, do you know what? It's been so lovely talking to you. I could have chatted to you all afternoon.
I know. It's been so nice. I feel like we've known each other for so long.
This is the one of the pitfalls of watching you for years on reality TV. I'm a fucking best pal. Mate, good luck with everything. Good luck with the podcast and the book. If you could get us a copy, I wouldn't mind reading that.
Yes. I will send you a copy, 100%.
Please sign it because I'm a fan.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.